Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, welcome to another episode of the Confessions podcast, brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. If you've forgotten to get your beloved a Valentine's present, why not dim the lights, open a bottle of fizz and enjoy this podcast, which is because we embody romance. When people think of romance, they think of this show.
Do they really?
Yes, they do. Because we are romantic icons.
In what sense?
Because people would love to go out with us.
Would they?
Wow.
Yes. Would they though?
Definitely. All of us together.
Yep.
Because all at once.
All at once on a big cruise.
Oh.
A cruise?
Yes.
Matt brought up the cruise. Let's just...
Yep. When it comes up, remember, okay. Matt's the guy who goes first.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, on this podcast, Susie's in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is where he normally is, in the gutter, just outside the pub. And Sister Holly is in the tat of cupboard.
Uh-huh.
We take a trip to the parish notice board in this here pod, where your correspondence has been flooding in, featuring some glowing five-star reviews and the confessions that have been left behind in the Mark Knopfler pile. All this week's confessions that did make it onto the radio on Greatest Hits Radio, drive time 4 till 7. Thanks for listening. A school trip in Cold War Russia from Paula, or was it Pam, now a magistrate? Cold War kids are hard to kill. Under their desks in an air raid drill.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't they heard we've won the war? What do they keep on fighting for? Thank you, Billy Joel.
Very good.
We head on a cruise for a cocktail or five with Debbie and enjoy the entertainment in her confession. Old man rhythm is in my shoes. There's also Dr. Kiss Kiss's confession. You're an embarrassment. First off, it's eyes down and ears up for a confession that combines country music and bingo. It's Texas Tale, Dirty Gertie at number 30.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So today's confession comes from Tex. T-E-X. Thank you, Tex, for this. Dearest Father Simon, Sister Susie, Brother Matthew, Sister Holly, and the Disciples of Forgiveness, many years ago I played in a country and western band. This is not what I'm asking forgiveness for.
Oh.
Well. We toured the land, bringing our interpretation of famous songs about dogs, grandmas, prisons, pickup trucks, getting drunk, trains, relationships that have gone bad, and so on, to many country and western clubs. Again, this is not what I'm asking forgiveness for.
Okay.
Although the content of our set sounds depressing, these clubs were well attended, with many patrons dressing up. Usually as cowboys, Indians, Beverly Hillbillies, a lot of effort went into creating these costumes, and they really looked authentic. You might have thought that you'd step back in time. Flags, bunting and banners decorated the many dance halls, mainly in village halls or working men's clubs, and stages were decorated to give that Wild West effect. Unfortunately, there were two things that totally destroyed the total ambience. The first one being when the cowboys and Indians started talking to each other with comments like, "All right, Fred, how's it going?"
Right.
In a strong Yorkshire... Strong Yorkshire accent.
Oh, right, well, here it comes, yeah.
Or similar greetings in other strong English accents, depending on where we were in the country that you were playing. The second one was when they sat down to play bingo in the break. Pocahontas, the Lone Ranger, Big Chief Running Bear and Jed Clampett with bingo dabbers totally destroyed the illusion. Mm. One particular tour took us to the northeast. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Of this vast land to ply our trade. One night we arrived at the venue where we were booked. This was a working man's club. We were greeted at the door by a rather obnoxious chap with one of those jackets with leather patches on the elbows, a flat cap, and the one thing that the locals coveted and aspired to acquire, a big enamel badge that said, "Committee." This bloke was clearly important. The first thing he said was, in a London accent...
No, he didn't!
He was,
oh,
he was
come
there.
On.
No.
He said, "Are you the turn tonight?" "Yes," we nodded. "You're up there," he continued, pointing to a double flight of metal stairs going up the outside of the building. He then went on to explain in an exaggerated authoritative tone how important the bingo was, and we all had to keep quiet when the bingo was on. We promised that we would be as quiet as mice when the bingo was on, so we started to unload our equipment and ascend the access to great heights. I have to explain to our younger listeners that in those days, this equipment was rather heavy, and polycarbonate PA's speaker cabinets were some years away from being invented. So I get to the top of the outside stairs with a big heavy PA speaker and go through the door. There was then another flight of stairs to climb. I get to the top of these stairs with my knees buckling and burst through the stage door. It was pitch black and I stumbled through and I felt the PA speaker bumping into something. Well, it turned out it was the bingo machine. And one of those with a Hoover motor running in reverse and ping pong balls with numbers written on them. Luckily, it was pitch black, as I just stated, and nobody saw it happen. I put the speaker down and pushed the machine back to where it was, roughly. We finished bringing up the equipment, we set up and we did a sound check. We sounded great. Due to the echo in the room, which made the pedal steel guitar stand out. In those days, according to the purists, if you didn't have a pedal steel guitar player in the band, you were not a proper country and western band. Didn't matter if you're any good or not, just as long as he turned up. And our guy sounded like the late, great Buddy Emmons. So obviously that's something to bear in mind.
Okay.
One of the great pedal steel guitarists.
Of course.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Anyway,
yeah.
We had a dressing room where we went to get changed and a tray of drinks was put out for us. Whilst we were waiting to go on, the speaker in the room came to life with his voice saying, in a broad northeasterly accent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here we go. Yay.
All right in the bar. Mm. Another voice replied,
Northeast London.
All right in the bar. Then the first voice said, all right in the lounge. And a different voice said, aye, all right in the lounge.
Right.
The first voice then said, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for your first full house of your bingo, so eyes down. It was a Geordie.
Yeah.
There was this rather weird rattling sound, like a wheezy cough, and all the women went, ooh, in a strong northeastern accent.
Oh, did they?
That's possible.
I hear that.
One of my colleagues put his head out of the door to see what was happening, and apparently, where I'd knocked the bingo machine, I had bent a little clip on the top. All of the balls were shooting all over the stage, and the important chap with the big committee badge, who everyone aspires to be, was on his hands and knees picking up the balls as they shot everywhere. There was no bingo at all that night, Father Simon, as every time they tried, balls fired everywhere, even on the committee. But on the plus side, there was a whole lot more country and western, more twang and no two fat ladies, more pedal steel guitar and less 86 between the sticks, 42 Winnie the Pooh. And culturally, this is a good thing, Father Simon. I do need to say to the disciples of forgiveness, sorry, didn't mean it, honest promise and crossed my heart. I'll never do it again, although I can't, as all bingo machines have gone digital. Thanks so much in advance. Lots of love from Tex. Well, I guess what you think on this confession will depend on what you think about country music and what you think about bingo. And also my accent, obviously.
Yeah.
I was doing my best. Mm. So anyway, Sister Susie, what do you say to Tex?
Well, Tex, I quite like country and western music, as you know. And, you know, I love a pedal steel, so I kind of am on his side. But I feel like my mum was also a very big bingo fan. And if she'd gone and there wasn't be any bingo, then there would be trouble. So I feel like I have to honour her and say, I can't forgive you for breaking the bingo, or at least owning up to the fact that you were the one.
Yeah.
That caused the issue. So
he busted the bingo machine. Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. I mean, obviously, not least for the accents.
Thank you.
Absolutely spot on. Could have been there, really, couldn't we?
Yes,
could
I
have
think
been
so.
There. Transported me. But I'm going to forgive. My very first job was being a bingo caller. So, takes me right back. And you've got to check your bingo machine, haven't you? That's the first thing you do before you start reading out the bingo numbers is you check your machine. And he hadn't checked the machine.
Well, when they checked it, then that's when it...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So that was the root of all their problems. So once again, I'm proven right. And for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Does your logic make any more sense?
I think it makes perfect sense there, but you have to follow it very closely. Maybe listen to it a couple of times and then... And
maybe
then,
change it all together.
And then maybe change it all around.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, Texas Confession allowed Matt to also have a go at an accent, or not, on the people's verdict.
And Stephen New Brighton says, why I pet?
Oh, very good.
As a person who's had to deal with committee members when giving talks to PTAs and as a Geordie living in exile, I forgive.
So you didn't try either, did you?
I didn't came across it. Almost like we were on the T-side there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
very unimpressed. We didn't really know about your bingo origins.
No, I'm pretty sure I've brought it up before.
You have not brought this up.
I've never brought it up.
You have. In the whole 2 to 3 years I've worked on the show, said it to me.
It was my first job after doing my GCSEs was on Southport Pleasure Beach doing the bingo. Yes.
Right, okay. I've got all the bingo numbers here. So
all of them.
I'm just going to give you the little code.
And I have to guess the number?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Right. Okay, here we go. Stairway to Heaven.
Number 7.
No, 67.
67? How's that 67 Stairway to Heaven?
Starmer's Den.
Number 10.
There you go. Okay.
Brilliant. And we're laughing.
Rise and Shine.
Number 9.
29.
29? Why 29?
See, yeah, you're not
that
great.
That makes no sense.
They don't work.
Oh, they didn't exist in your day.
No, they very much didn't. No.
They're official. I think you'll find.
So mine were Key to the Door, 21. Doctor's Orders, number 9.
Sunset Strip,
66.
No, that's Clickety Click. Everyone knows that.
66.
Clickety Click, yeah.
Sunset Strip, I don't know.
Dirty Gertie.
Number 30.
Yes, there you go. 39 Steps.
39.
That is one, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
36.
36?
Yep.
Wow, that's another one. That's not right. Anyway Up.
Christmas Cake.
No, I've said one. Now you have to guess
the
number. Anyway Up.
56.
What number is the same? Anyway Up. Anyway Up.
88.
69.
Correct. Boom. 69.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. Yes. Sweet 16.
16.
Winnie
the Pooh.
That's not one.
Yes, it is.
Winnie the Pooh. 22.
42.
42. Oh. That doesn't make any sense, though. you can't just have them rhyme.
Well, look, yeah. Droopy Draws is 44. So 44. That doesn't
make
any sense.
All the fours, 44.
No.
It's all the fours, 44. I'm trying to think of others now. Two Little Ducks.
22.
Yes. Top of the Shop.
Five dozen.
No.
90.
Five dozen. Five, everyone has to get their fingers out. Hang on, 48 plus the other two.
No. Cup of Tea.
Number 3.
Yes,
yeah, you're making good. These up now.
That's on the
real
list.
You're kidding me now.
No, that's the real
cup
one.
The cup of tea doesn't have any relationship with the number 3.
Lucky
two little ducks looks like two little ducks.
Lucky yeah. 7.
Number 7.
Yes.
Yeah, right, well that
Buckle My
works.
Shoe.
That can't be number 2.
Having a poo.
32
does not make any sense. See, like, Starmer's Den, because he lives at number 10.
Yes.
Downing Street.
Yeah.
Okay. Two Little Ducks looks like 22. 21, Key to the Door. At 21, you would get a key to the door.
Yeah, but you don't get a key to the door.
You do.
And it doesn't rhyme.
You used to.
You did in the 80s.
Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen.
Michael Sheen. Is that right? No.
Michael Sheen.
Think ABBA.
Four yeah. Swedish people.
Young and sweet only.
17.
There you go.
17. Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen.
Before we dive back into this week's confessions, it's time to take a look at the parish notice board. And let's see what's been pinned to our board this week, and Matt will be doing the browsing here.
Yes, as ever, 5-star reviews, you know the rules. Pink Marmalade says 5 stars, bus maintenance, which is a promising start. Matt is hilarious, obviously. Oh. Susie sounds like someone you wouldn't want to be stuck in a lift with.
Oh, that's nice.
That's not very nice at all, Mr. Pink Marmalade. Simon is clearly the governor, and the tack cupboard lady gives out the very best mugs.
I like sure they know gone. All your names, tack cupboard lady.
With the tat. However, there's not even one solitary tip about the maintenance of a Leyland MK one rear axle wishbone. Very disappointing, as I had tuned in specifically. However, what I heard instead was very funny. More 1985 double-decker bus maintenance tip next time, please. Must try harder, thanks. Which I'm going to guess is related to the confession we had a couple of weeks ago about your religious producer getting stuck in a door.
Souls of Praise.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Getting stuck in that. So well done, Pink Marmalade. 5 stars, says Susie and Rex. It's all up to the smock shop. It's all up to the smock shop, say Susie and Rex. P.S. We thought Matt did really well on the bingo, and if it's been edited to make it look like Matt didn't do very well, then that is a travesty. Thanks for that, Susie and Rex.
Nice combination of the code phrase and a review.
Yeah.
Turn the Screw.
42. It literally could be anything that
62.
Rhymes with 2.
It's obviously 62.
62. 6 and 2 make no reference to turning any screws. It just does not make sense.
Danny LaRue.
Oh, right, 52.
Yes,
52.
Yes.
I'm just literally saying numbers that end in
Who's
2.
Who's Danny LaRue?
Danny LaRue.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Come
sorry,
on.
We don't have time to explain.
No.
4 dozen.
48.
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
Robert in Bala has sent an email in with a question. Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie, and the rest of the Drive Time team, there are no others. We hear Matt and Susie's verdicts on the confession. I was wondering why Simon doesn't give his verdict.
Oh, that's very good, yes.
Because
why?
It would compromise my position.
Oh, right. As a magistrate? What?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't make any sense.
I have to be the moral arbiter, the neutral authority. Yeah. In the event of a tie, I can...
But it's always a tie, because who's never
in the event
forgives
of a tie, I can pronounce, but I choose not to.
Always. Oh, right.
Okay. Just to be one step above
oh,
the
I
fray.
See. A bit like... Supreme Court judge.
Well, a little bit like a Supreme Court judge in America or a British
Maybe
Supreme
let's,
Court judge.
Let's hope not. Let's very much hope not. Mm. Lord Justice Mayo.
This is solid gold,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. Moment of the year.
Very good. So I feel as though I read them out. I don't want to actually give my... Do you want to know my verdict?
I do, yeah. I think we'd love to, yes.
Well, it might get a bit long, mightn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. You're supposed to be impartial.
I think so.
You sit in the middle of the desk.
The listeners need
and
to
you
trust
are the middle.
Me that they share and unburden themselves. They need to trust that I'm going to give a good example.
Okay.
Dirty Gertie.
Number 30.
Are we done
that one?
Susie, what do you have?
I've spotted an email from Ed who says, "Dear Father Simon and the Collective, I've been listening to your Confessions podcast for years and was delighted when it returned. I was introduced while listening at the other place with my mum while driving home from sixth form and have had many chuckles at the other place's obscene behaviour. I continue to listen to you every week on my commute from Nottingham to Lincoln. During a recent drive to an adoption training session to support my brother Tom and his wife Max, who have just been accepted to adopt, I thought I would reintroduce my mum to the Confessions podcast as she was not aware that you were still in business."
Oh, great. Thanks a lot.
All that promotion.
Mm-hmm. "I have attached the evidence required and wondered if you would possibly send us some tat, a mug if possible. Kind regards, Ed." And he has got a picture.
Yes, he has. But he's got like a life jacket on. I'm not quite sure. Is he like the RNLI?
Looks like it, yes.
He looks a bit serious, doesn't
he?
It's
like a puffer jacket.
Mm. What Ed doesn't say is, what did his mum think?
Yeah,
well,
Ed.
Presented Ed's mum with the evidence.
Yeah,
What happened?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. What do you think, Lady Tat?
Well, he is reintroducing the podcast to his mum, which is pretty cool. And also the good news in his life about his brother and his brother's wife, Max, adopting and it being accepted. It's all good news.
But
and
what
so
if his mum hated
to
it?
That,
Well, would he send the email if she hated
did.
It?
Mm.
Might have done. He just wants some tat, doesn't he?
Please make it clear in future emails that everyone you know loves this podcast.
Anyway,
or
Ed,
else.
If you do get something in the post, it'll be because Holly is feeling fantastically generous.
Yes, I am.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Thank you very much indeed. A couple of mentions to Sarah Gray, Mark Tomes, Michael Patterson and Neil Ogden, who were amongst those who got in touch with our secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, "All down the smock shop." Who have not been in touch, the smock shop, with all that publicity.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Matt, we'll have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. Up to tricks.
36.
46.
Anything
come on.
Ending in six.
As you know, not every confession makes it to the radio. Some are just too disgusting, really. But fear not, because here on the podcast, we have a special place for those types of confessions. It's time for the Mark Knopfler section, starting with the very unpromisingly named Wet William.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Wet William. When a confession starts with the line, "Way back in 1976, I joined the armed forces."
Right, it's already gone. Sorry. Yeah. Off
bye bye.
Generally a clue that what follows is probably not going to make it. It's very rare an army confession does, but especially when you go into detail about how after a three-day exercise, you were all back in your accommodation having a wonderful night. After enjoying more than a few beers, you felt the call of nature and unable to move, you essentially relieved yourself in your bed.
Mm. Okay.
Like you're 3 months old. You then noticed an empty bed that belonged to Dennis, who'd actually gone to the loo in the meantime and decided to swap beds. Dennis then got a bit cross and used a lot of unbroadcastable language when he returned to bed and he became known as Damp Dennis. So, Wet William, thank you. But really, I mean, it's classic.
Not much of a tale, really, is it? You know.
And Fox, as with army confessions... Confessions involving the goings-on at or after a young farmer's disco usually involves a certificate too high to be able to broadcast at tea time. I remember being bottled off at a young farmer's
really?
Disco.
Yes. Wow. Bottled off? So what had you done?
I was on stage 10 minutes doing my kind of Radio 1 thing. Bottle lands on the stage, breaks, and I go, okay, fine, bye. That's it. And I disappeared.
Had you said anything to Ryle?
What was in the bottle?
I dread to think.
No. Mm-mm.
There might not have been anything, but what's in the bottle was not really the point.
No. It was a bottle.
It was a glass
bottle.
And it landed
right next to you, yeah. Especially,
Fox, as your confession from when you were 24 involves a wild encounter with a chum and sleeping naked. I mean, already I'm feeling disturbed. You wanted to keep all this a secret from your very strict parents. And thanks to a family friend, your overnight guest escaped without being found. Fox did add a note for Matt, who wouldn't approve of his sleeping naked, to say he still sleeps naked. There's more freedom, apparently. There you go.
Well, I mean, you know, it's very continental to be sleeping naked. Also, there's not a lot of freedom because you can't go out of your house, can you? So you're not free to go out of your house.
Whereas, why would you be going in pyjamas?
Yeah. Because I, wearing my pyjamas, can go out of my house.
Yeah, but you're not going out of your house in pyjamas.
But I might. I'm free to.
I mean, it's
I can
an
exercise
interesting concept
my right
of freedom, isn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, oh, the oppression of a pyjama top. Or bottoms.
Yes. Well, hopefully you'd wear both. I mean, who only wears a pyjama top? That feels very wrong. Doesn't it? Oh, dear.
Well, a woman would probably wear a pyjama top.
Yeah.
It has to be a very big pyjama top.
A nightshirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, why wouldn't you wear the pyjama bottom if you've got the top?
Yeah, but it might be really hot if it's a really hot day or something.
Well, you're not in bed. If it's a really hot day, you're not in bed. And at night, it cools down.
No, but
wear the pyjama top.
Maybe it's a way for couples to share pyjamas and save money, so the woman gets the top and the man gets the bottoms.
I'd say you're making the wrong savings, number one.
I mean, just a question. If there is anyone listening to this podcast who wears like a tasseled cap in bed, because they used to, didn't they? Used to wear like a nightgown.
Oh, right, Rip Van Winkle.
A nightcap, that's the thing. I mean, the only nightcaps that we hear about now are, you know, if you have a wee dram or something before bed, which is very nice. Mm. But have you ever worn a nightcap, Holly?
No.
You could carry it off.
Holly, you come from fairy tale land. Have you worn a nightcap?
Blue and white stripes.
Yes. Around with a candle.
Anyone in your family ever worn?
No, not a thing.
There is anyone who wears a nightcap. We'd like to. We can have some Greatest Hits Radio branded nightcaps.
Really take off.
They're really popular.
Tat covered.
Well, that's quite enough of that. Back to the confessions that did actually make the cut. It's off to a school trip to Russia. In Paula's confession, Cold War kids are hard to kill under their desks in an air raid drill. Haven't they? All right, enough.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, today's confession comes from Pam. Please change my name. I'm now a magistrate. Okay, so today's confession comes from Paula. Father Simon, Father Simon and the Confessional Collective says, Paula, let's settle on Paula. In a recent episode of your marvellous podcast and your show, obviously, after reading out a confession about drunken geese in Ukraine, you made a request for further stories from the communist years of the Soviet bloc. Well, I thought, I can oblige. Though you'll be disappointed to learn I was not a member of any Politburo or a spy in the KGB or a peasant in the collective farm.
Okay.
In 1983, whilst in the sixth form, I went on a school trip to Russia. How about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a great time observing communism firsthand, and we admired statues of Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, better known to the world as Lenin, attended the Bolshoi Ballet, took an overnight train from Moscow to Leningrad. This is some school trip.
Yeah.
Declined offers to sell our jeans to shifty-looking men on the street and met Russian schoolchildren who asked us who we thought would win World War III. Good times, huh?
Oh, dear.
As a bunch of 17-year-old girls, we were delighted that an Irish boys' school was taking the same tour as us, and much flirty chat ensued as we wandered around Red Square, the Winter Palace and other Soviet high spots. On the last night of the trip, we were all staying in the same hotel. Uh-oh. The teachers in charge of us, the formidable Mrs. Pike and Mrs. Wilson, slight bad army reference there,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
told us that we were allowed to spend the evening in the hotel bars, but we must be back in our rooms by 10 p.m, tucked up in bed with lights out. Well, my best friend Jill and I had earmarked a couple of nice Irish boys. Let's call them Fergal and Seamus.
Well, let's.
We wanted to get to know a little bit better. So we're on a mission and all thoughts of curfew went out of our heads when we got together with Fergal and Seamus. Eventually, we decided we should perhaps return to our rooms at about midnight. I can still remember my horror when I stepped out of the lift and looked down the corridor to see Mrs. Pike and Mrs. Wilson standing outside our room, visibly quivering with rage. We shuffled towards them and they let us have it with both barrels. As we were used to similar situations with our parents, we adopted the usual protocol of mumbling, sorry, it was them, not us, as we skulked past them and went to bed. The following morning, we expected to receive a further dressing down from the teachers and were very surprised at breakfast when they greeted us with smiles and pleasantries. It turned out that Mrs. Pike and Mrs. Wilson had carried out room checks at 10 p.m. the previous night and everyone was tucked up safely apart from Jill and me. Unfortunately, we were the last room they checked. And when they went back to the other rooms to see if anyone had seen us, because we remember we were missing, all those rooms were now totally empty. The other girls had gone back out partying. They'd arrived in time for curfew, got under the covers, fully clothed, and then gone back out to continue their nefarious ways. They had apparently actually been talking to real communists, though only they claimed to discuss tractor prices and the inevitable decline of the corrupt capitalist system. And so, in the eyes of the teachers, although we disobeyed their instructions, we didn't use any subterfuge or deceit, and in comparison with the others, some of them even argued when they were eventually caught. Were they insane? We were the good students. We had not abandoned the high moral ground of Western liberalism. So, I seek forgiveness not from the other girls on the trip. It was unlucky for them that our room wasn't the first one checked, but there you go. They were being sneaky and dishonest, after all, with the Irish lads. But from Mrs. Pike and Mrs. Wilson, by not appreciating that they must have been having a difficult time anyway, trying to keep tabs on a bunch of wild 17-year-olds with the KGB at their doors, with the spying games and honey traps and dead drops and all that, and by massively adding to their stress by going missing for a couple of hours on the final night in communist Russia. Yours penitently, Pam/Paula. Please change my name. I'm now magistrate. Okay. So it's very important to keep anonymity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what Sister Susie makes of Paula's confession. What do you say, Sister Susie? I'm sure you've done similar.
Yeah, well, we went on to Holland. We only got as far as Holland on a school trip.
Not quite as exotic.
Not quite as exotic, but yes. Probably similar things going on, I would say. And I'm very clever of the other girls to think to be there for curfew and to go out afterwards. Like, that's genius. And they kind of foiled their plan, really. And I if I was one of those girls, I'd probably be a bit upset with them. So maybe I'll stick with those and not forgive for the fact that they ruined the plan to go out. And
so you didn't have Fergal and Seamus, but you had a couple of Dutch boys, did you?
But maybe not me personally, but...
Wow! Okay! Well, that went off.
Well, I think the class was a bit enamoured by some...
Johan?
Yeah.
someone or other. Matthew, what do you say to Paula, not Pam?
Yeah, let's bring this back. Mrs. Pike and Mrs. Wilson, they probably knew that the kids were going to be out, didn't they? They knew what was going to be happening. They, you know, get this chance many, many times. They used to be out in Moscow with the Irish boys. So I'm going to forgive. They all owned the means of production, didn't they?
Is
all
that
of
right?
Those teenagers. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
There is not much Marxist theory on this podcast.
Not enough of it, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we could introduce a little section where we analyse political philosophy? Holly, I'm looking at you.
Feels like the opening. Let's definitely open for that.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. Well, now, a few weeks ago, we got a new name for Matt on The People's Verdict when he was referred to as that bloke.
Oh, yes.
Well, this week it was Susie's turn.
And Jill says, forgiven, I agree with Matt. Pub lady won't even forgive a little childhood indiscretion. That's Suze. Pub lady.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not very nice. No, no.
So we apologise to you, Susie, on behalf of everybody else.
Despite playing
that's
it
okay.
again.
She remembered that I live in a pub, so...
That's true. Yeah.
Between the Sticks.
Something ending in six.
Yeah, but which one?
Right, so...
46.
46, no, yeah, again.
86.
86, doesn't go up to 86.
Talkie in Devon.
It does, it goes to 90.
Talkie in Devon.
Talkie in Devon.
Right, this had better be the number of the road that goes to Talkie
87.
In Devon. 87. The A87 does not go to Talkie in Devon.
No, it just rhymes.
Yes, well, that's not enough.
Anyway, still to come on the podcast, we are enjoying the onboard entertainment until a Texan with a big old hat comes along. Debbie's cruise confession, old man rhythm is in my shoes. But first, it's Dr. Kiss Kiss's confession. You're an embarrassment.
Shh, shh, shh. You won't tell anyone.
What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Today's confession comes from Dr. Kiss Kiss. Ooh. Thank you, Dr. Kiss Kiss. And today's confession has at least a 12 certificate.
At least? Oh, even
better. At least a 12.
I like.
For language and references.
Oh, references. Mm.
Father Simon and the Family of Mercy, says Dr. Kiss Kiss, I have a confession which harks back to the turn of the millennium. I was living on Australia's Gold Coast, working as a radiographer, and was dating an English GP who was working out there as well. We shared a lovely apartment and were blissfully happy. The good doctor was studying for one of her postgraduate qualifications and was working very hard, as all doctors do. She had a pile of medical textbooks covering topics as diverse as dermatology, the endocrine system, hormones, as you know.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And reproductive medicine. I had worked a long and tricky night shift at the local accident and emergency and got home in the morning to find that my girlfriend had already left for her work day at a very busy practice a few miles away. I was a bit bored and not really ready for sleep. I started to vegetate in front of Bert Newton's Good Morning Australia on Network 10, bit of an institution, you should know, when I noticed the reproductive medicine book on the couch next to me. I picked it up and idly thumbed through the weighty tome, and it occurred to me that the illustrations contained therein could probably do with some annotations, which I thought would amuse the good doctor while she was revising.
Yes.
Armed with a biro, a ruler, a felt tip, and a set of crayons, and a protractor, you've got to get the angles right.
Oh, of course, yes,
have you do.
I jotted down a few helpful and witty notes on a couple of diagrams, closed the book and promptly forgot all about it. Fast forward 6 months, the doctor had passed her exams, the books had disappeared from the flat, and everything was wonderful. Until one day, I walked in to see the doctor looking a bit cross. Very cross, in fact. Furious, I'd have to say. She was holding the reproductive medicine book and looking quite threatening. Did you do...
Aussie? No?
No. Yeah. She's an English GP.
Oh, she's English.
She's GP.
Oh,
okay. Did you do this? She asked. Why, what happened? It's just a harmless bit of schoolboy fun to make you laugh. Using a fake laugh.
Fake
like
laugh.
You hear in the ads. I spluttered. What happened was... The doctor was explaining to a very religious newlywed couple about the birds and the bees and the like, and decided to show the couple some helpful example pictures from the textbook. Apparently this rather delicate and serious situation was not helped by the word boobies with arrows pointing to the relevant diagrams.
Why?
On several pages. Yeah. And most certainly complicated by the happy faces that I'd drawn on the illustrations of spermatozoa.
Yes.
I seek forgiveness. Not from the couple, who probably didn't notice anyway, but from the good doctor. We've been married for 24 years now, but she claims she has never been more embarrassed in her entire life. Sorry, Prof, says Dr. Kiss Kiss. Well, I mean, this is kind of the kind of smutty schoolgirl and schoolboy behaviour that that you expect, but not from fully qualified medics. Anyway, I suspect Sister Susie is going to take a very, very harsh line on this one.
Well, yes, it's very funny. Ha, 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 Dr. Kiss Kiss. But essentially, you're a full-grown man. Behave like one. Very childish. Not going to forgive you.
Oh, really? Okay, that's
boobies.
It.
Wow. I mean, just finding boobies funny. Ugh.
Well... I mean, if that's the bar, you know, okay. I'm not going to clear that bar.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, finding it hilarious. I mean, let's be honest, those books, they're all covered in it, aren't they? I mean, I can't believe there are any of those books that aren't just graffitied all over them with various little happy faces and little slogans all over them. And I'm sure the couple saw the funny side. I think they love that kind of thing, and it brushed over what might have been a very difficult conversation. And I think it brought a bit of light into the whole thing, and everyone came out of it better. And isn't that what life's all about? So for those reasons,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Debbie, brackets, name not changed. So I took that to mean you can call me Debbie.
Okay.
Father Simon and the Forgiving Collective, I write to you from the deck of a cruise ship sailing from Hawaii to San Francisco. Ooh. After a lovely Christmas New Year cruise and whilst enjoying my strawberry daiquiri. Actually, I think there's probably been quite a lot of strawberry daiquiri because the lack of punctuation in this confession is startling. I started to remember a previous cruise many years ago, and now I have no choice but to confess. Let me set the scene. There were many activities on cruise ships, even if you decide not to get off at whichever port you find yourself in. Cruise directors, who it has to be said are a very jolly bunch, have spent months preparing for each and every cruise, putting quizzes, crew and passengers, and planning pool volleyball and make this and make that and buy this and buy that. Every night is a different show, a different comedian, a magician or something else in the main theatre. Honestly, it's exhausting. The theatre is designed like an old 50s style club with spaces between rows and small tables for drinks so the waiting staff can run around serving drinks. The cruise sounds like Matt's perfect holiday.
Yes, no, yeah. I love it.
The cruise in question was going around various stops of the Mediterranean. This particular day was a sea day, so there was much eating, drinking and lounging by the pool. A bit boring, in other words. So when hubby and I heard there was to be an X Factor Opportunity Knocks passenger show in the theatre, we were hooked, brackets, desperate. It was a packed theatre, anticipation dripping from the walls. We were sat halfway back on the lower level mid-row. Don't like to get too close to the stage. You never know what's going to happen. The theatre filled. The tension was growing. Two rows directly in front of us sat a family of Texans. You could tell from the boots and the hats that they were wearing, and they all knew it. Dad was especially vocal. Howdy, all. Howdy. Howdy.
Okay.
That man had an opinion on everything, and he was loud. Even his wife had clearly had enough of him. And we're going to call him JR for the purposes of this confession. Yeah. The show started, and various artists took to the stage. This was their moment, their one chance to make it. Simon, you have to remember that even the professionals on this ship wouldn't do this kind of show. We'd had castanets. I mean, who brings those on holiday? A magician who was trying to pull a rabbit from a hat when rabbit wasn't even on the menu, so where was he going to find one of those? Along with singers. And again, who told them that they could sing? I think Debbie is a little bit sour at this point. All the time, JR was giving us a running commentary very loudly on every single contestant. Howdy, y'all. Now, collective, please do not judge me, but I had possibly more than one cocktail. I'd had more than one cocktail this particular day, and they had been serving it in the theatre as well. I have in my hand a cocktail glass with a little straw and tiny ice cubes in it. It's called a grasshopper. Maybe Susie understands that. Is that right? Would that be a grasshopper?
Yeah, grasshopper.
Okay. So now a choir takes to the stage, and they're from Wales. We were going to cheer the loudest for these guys being from nearby England. Well, they start... That's Debbie being from nearby England, cheering on the Welsh. Well, they started to sing, and to be honest, they were lovely. Beautiful harmonies filled the theatre, and everyone was listening except JR, who was getting louder and louder. You call this a choir? We got better choirs back in little old Texas. And he then started singing. This is the Texas state anthem written by William J. Marsh from Liverpool.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Texas, our Texas, all hail the mighty state. Texas, our Texas, so wonderful, so great. He was singing. I don't have the tune, I'm afraid. But that, you get the general gist. How annoying. Yeah. Well, Simon, this is where things got tricky, to be honest. I thought my number was up. JR proceeded to sing and get very vocal about my fellow countrymen. And to this, I admit, I took umbrage. But what do I do, Simon? Well, I couldn't do this again if my life depended on it, but I was going to try this. I sucked up a little cocktail into my straw, and I was going to fire it on JR. Well, I managed to secure an ice cube onto the end of the straw, and I then blew and proceeded to fire it at this noisy Texan. Simon Mayhem was perfect. Like I said, I couldn't do it again for $1 million, but it hit him between his 10-gallon hat, which he was wearing indoors, and the collar of his shirt. A totally perfect shot. JR leapt into the air like he'd been hit by 50,000 volts. What in the hell's going on? Hot damn, y'all see that?
That's very good.
I cunningly swiveled, looking behind me to see where the culprit was. JR was still in full flow. The Welsh choir had stopped mid-verse and the cruise director looked like he'd faint. One of these freaking turnips has just shot me. I got shot. But who did shoot JR? That's the question.
Yeah.
Hubby and I are still looking behind us for the felon, and as JR threatened to sue each and every one of us and the cruise company and, it seemed, most of Wales, the cruise director decided to abandon ship rather than face him. It's fair to say the show was over. No fat lady, not even from the buffet. No singing, no nothing. Now, it being just an ice cube, there was no evidence and no DNA, so I am in the clear. Mm. There are no winners in this sorry tale, Simon. Half the choir were in tears, and they thought they had it in the bag. Various magicians, singers and others trailed off the stage. I do not require forgiveness from JR. He jolly well deserved it. Or from the cruise director, because he should be used to it. But Father Simon, I seek forgiveness for the Welsh choir, because this could have been their moment, their X Factor, their chance. But between me and a loud Texan, we will never know. Please have mercy on a poor cruiser. Well, I don't think you're that poor, really, because there you are on the deck of the ship going from Hawaii to San Francisco with your strawberry daiquiri. Mm. Anyway, Sister Susie, what do you say to young Debbie here?
Well, Debbie made me laugh. I do quite like a daiquiri myself. I'm not a massive fan of the grasshopper. The cream in, a bit more like a dessert. You could probably only have about one of them, but...
So are you judging her on her cocktail taste?
A little bit, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd find that Texas man quite annoying as well. And what are the chances of that shot happening? I think she did very well after a couple of drinks and still managed to hit the target. So I'm feeling quite kind today, so I'm going to forgive her.
Okay, all right, that's a bit of a turn-up. Brother Matthew?
So I'm going to forgive as well, because what's this Texan doing wearing a big hat indoors? No need for that. Also, I love the idea of being able to shooting him with an ice cube, and the ice cube melts away. No evidence. Take that, Agatha Christie. Absolutely spot on. And also, how's this choir all getting together? I mean, were it different people? Were they all coming together? They all happened to be in a choir?
Yes.
Or was the whole choir booked on the cruise?
Impromptu. That makes
no sense. So for that reason, because of all the mystery, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
A drive time cruise would be an interesting thing.
Interesting is doing a lot of work there, but yes. Do go on.
No, I just considered it and I've turned it down.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
It was interesting.
It's possible. But we could make that happen.
Matt could do the bingo, of course. That's already sorted.
Imagine that.
Not with the performance on today's numbers.
Well, I'm going to... Yes. Something that rhymes with four... 34.
But what do you know what trombones is?
Yes, 76 trombones.
Trombones. 76
there was a song
trombones.
Called 76 Trombones in the Hit Parade. I mean, obviously everyone knows that one.
Yeah. Trombones?
But a lot of 76
trombones is a word.
It doesn't rhyme.
No, exactly. Doesn't
That's
rhyme.
It's association with a song title, which is 76
Well, you
trombones.
Don't have guns. 68 guns. That doesn't work.
Well, it would do.
No.
But it's Saving Grace, 68.
68 Saving Grace? How does that work?
It's your profession.
It's my profession.
It's got nothing to do with us. We're just telling you what's going on.
Half a century.
50. So that makes sense. Done. We all
Valentine's
know.
Day.
Number 14.
Yes, young and keen.
It's going to be 16. It's going to be 15.
15. If you have a confession for us, then we were enough bingo already. Send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is enough bingo already. Enough bingo already.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads, or you can post it to me on Blue Sky. Don't bother on X.
Don't post it to me.
Okay. Thank you. Remember to share the podcast with friends and leave massive 5-star reviews. Back next week with some more hilarity. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly says...
See you later, alligator.
Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
And remember, always...
Danger, danger! Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Or just post it me. Post it? You can just post it to me.
Post it to me.